I'm going to make this kind of quick. I think that today's whole service has preached this message, and it is the power of dying to yourself to serve someone else. And I thought it was so amazing that God chose Frank to come on this day, because this is what we're talking about. So Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. The title of my message is, this is the most unlikely way to produce fruit. The most unlikely way to produce fruit. It is not the thing that you would think about. It's not the thing that you would consider. But the most unlikely way to produce fruit is to just serve other people. And most people don't like that, because I don't really think that that goes hand in hand. But I'm going to show you how God is going to do amazing things in your life if you will serve somebody else. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Father, we thank you for this word today. I pray that you would move me aside, that you, Holy Spirit, would come in, teach this word, and with power and vigor, challenge us to serve in a way that we lay our lives down and die for someone else, so that someone who will come after us will be able to talk like Frank did about Jeff, about how my life has changed radically because you laid your life down for me. We thank you, Father, for this word, and help me, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to bring this up because we as a community are a community of service. We do a lot to serve in the community. We have our huge Christmas for San Jose event coming up, where we give away about 400 or 500 toys for free and have games and all kinds of stuff. We also have our Easter celebration, which is probably the pinnacle of our year. It marks our anniversary every year. And for our anniversary each year, we like to go out in the community. We gave away, I think, 5,000 Easter eggs last year to over 1,700 people, and we were able to serve them in the community and tell people about Christ. We had over 100 decisions for Christ last Easter weekend between all of our events. You saw the Holly Oak event coming up where we go in Kids Club, and we go now in 4 different schools here in the community, and we tell kids about Jesus. I mean, boy, last year it was real light and fluffy. This year, y'all, we are going deep, and we are talking about our faith, and we're telling them about Jesus at the core of everything that we do. So we go to Holly Oak, which is kindergarten through 6th grade. We have 48 students. We have 14 on a wait list because I don't have enough volunteers. If I had 2 more volunteers, I could serve all the kids that want to be there, but I can't because we don't have enough volunteers. But we serve 48 students there. We're going over into to Leyva. I go and Miss Caroline goes to Leyva twice a month. And over there, I think we have about 15 students that I've seen come through there. We go to Quimby Oak Middle School. Sorry, I forgot all the schools we go into. We go there, and we have about 6 or 7 students there that are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we have a school that I'd ask you to pray about is Sheboya. And we go into there, and right now we only have 2 students that have signed up, but God is sending more. Why am I telling you this? Because our church does a great job of serving out. But I want to challenge our church to serve in too. I think we like to go and do things out in the community because we see this amazing opportunity to do great stuff. But we forget that God is calling us to serve right here in this church. You know, I love that Ellie is giving of herself every Sunday. And I asked her yesterday, I said, do you like doing it by? I mean, do you want to keep doing it by yourself? Because if this is something you'd like doing by yourself, I want to let you be. She was like, no, I'd like help it go a little faster. And I said, okay, well, why don't we just ask people to help? But I want to talk to you about why serving is so vital to your personal growth and producing fruit, because most of us see it as an inconvenience. And it's okay to do the big events. You know why? Because those are one day. Or those are quick. Those are not things I have to consistently commit to. And I know, I mean, I have 2 boys that play baseball. I know how busy our schedules can get. But I need you to understand that serving is key to the Christian life. Jesus, that main passage, put that passage back up there. Jesus, Almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth, left heaven to come down to earth And he said, this is his mission. You know what? I did not come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords so that y'all could just say, oh, God, we love you. And what shall we do for you? And how shall we give to you? Even though we want to serve God like that. Jesus Christ said, I did not come down for that. You know what I came down to do? I came down to serve you. And if we're supposed to be like Jesus, then wouldn't it make sense that we do what Jesus did? And if Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to get served, I came to serve, then we as Christians need to make our life more about having people serve us than serving other people. We have to stop doing that. And what you might be like, well, Pastor, I don't do that. I'm good. I'm not, you know, you don't have to wait on me hand and foot. You don't have to bring me no water. You don't have to, you know, I've been in church for a long time. And if you are a pastor, there's kind of like this connotation that you got to have everybody do everything for you. Like when you go guest preach, you get an armor bearer, and your armor bearer carry your Bible and carry your purse and carry your bag, and they bring you water, and they just kind of clear the pathway for you, and they make sure everybody kind of stay away from you. And I'm like, you know what? That's all right. But I don't think that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know what? I know how to carry my own iPad. I can get my own water whenever I need to. It ain't here now, but I know where it's at. I can do this stuff myself. And as if I think about this correctly, if I roll in with that attitude, I'm going to miss that I am here to serve other people. Now, there are people who feel like they are called to serve their pastor. And for that, I say you do it because you have a heart of service, not because I need you to do it. And that's what holy people are supposed to have. That's a bunch of that's a bunch of lies. Right? It's not true. We are not some high and mighty people that say, come serve me. That's from a pastor perspective. But you know what? We do this in the church. When we come in the church and we don't serve, what we're telling everybody else is, you serve me. Like, I don't have to clean a bathroom because you're serving me. I don't have to work with kids because y'all are serving me. I don't have to greet anybody because y'all serve me. As a matter of fact, I don't even have to work for the message. I don't have to work to help in worship. I just sit. Now, I'm not fussing. I am teaching. I don't want you to have the mentality of the world, which the world says it's all about me. So unfortunately, the world's mindset has crept into the church, where we go to church based upon what the church is giving us. Okay, if they don't have good music, I ain't going. But what if God called you there and the music sucks? Am I using words? The kids aren't in here, so who cares? Right? We got mostly junior high schoolers. They can handle it. They used to me. Right? If we go to a place and God is saying, I've called you to be in this church, he has planted us here. The Bible says he adds to the body as he sees fit, which means he's added you here because there is a work that he wants you to get involved in while you're here. And if we're not getting involved in the work, then the question is, am I really a disciple of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus served. Now, some of y'all are sitting here looking like, she all up in my Kool-Aid. Look here. I'm not talking about you. I'm not mad at you. What I want to do is I want to bring us to a place where we're really operating like Christ, and we're really seeing fruitfulness happen in our life because we're obeying Christ. And I believe we have to do that through serving. Now, I grew up in a church, and so this may be some of you too. I grew up in a church where my great uncle was my pastor when I was a little girl. I was about 7 years old. And I got saved in that church, and my mother was the piano player and the youth choir director, and I mean, she was doing so much, I don't even know what else she was doing. We were constantly at church, and some of y'all kids are like, yes, some of the young people, like, we've been in church. Some of y'all who've been in church a long time, y'all be like, that's what my life was like. Every day the doors of the church was open, we were there. And I remember that because my mother was so close and because he was family, there were things that we saw behind the scenes. And we saw some things, where my mother saw some things that she felt were not godly. And my mother got mad, and she walked away from the church. And I never saw my mother serve in a church again. She would go to church, but she wouldn't serve. And the reason was because she was so hurt, she was like, I'm never going to get close enough to let another church hurt me like that again. But I feel like the enemy robbed my mother from the gift of serving. and the gifts that she had to bring to the body of Christ as a musician and a teacher. She's an amazing teacher. And I wonder how many of us have let some past experience in a church or with a person keep us from really getting what God wants for us. And I think you shouldn't let someone else have that much power over you, that they impact the seed and the fruit that comes out of your life because you've been so hurt by what they've done. It's funny because I think all of us want to be great. I don't think anybody in here doesn't want to be great. At some point in your life, you had a desire to be great, to do great things, whether it be great things for God, great things on the basketball court, great things on the baseball field, great things on the volleyball court, great things at your job. We all have this desire to want to be great. And yet, we don't realize that God has a plan for how we get great. And the plan for how we get great is in service. It's one of the things that Jesus says is that if you want to be great, you have to learn how to serve. Remember the 12 were talking about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus was like, you know, the greatest of you has to be the least first. And they didn't get it. But what I understood is Jesus was never saying you can't be great. He was just saying my pathway to greatness is completely different than the world's pathway. So you can't look at how you get great through how the world says step on other people. Just walk over everybody. Do you, boo. Focus on you. Get your thing off. You can't do that because that's not what it looks like to serve Jesus Christ. Let me show you what Jesus Christ said. This is so amazing to me when I started to take a look at this. It's that, watch this. Can't find. Okay, John 15, verse 9 through 12. John 15, verse 9 through 12. I want to show you. John 15, verse 13. I'm going to start there. I'm going to go work backwards. John 15, 13. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for friends. Jesus says, look, how you really begin to look at serving and being great, you got to start laying down your life for somebody else. And we don't like that. And he starts talking about this greatness of serving. And he lives it out for his disciples every single day. They were like, Jesus, you need food. And he's like, no, you know, I'm going to lay my life down for y'all. Not only did he die on the cross, but he was like, you need food. And Jesus is like, no. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. I'm not even going to worry about eating because I'm too busy serving. I think sometimes it's hard to serve and to be great because we're serving, because we've got so many things pulling on us. We got so many things that impact us. And truth be told, some of us have served and we've experienced burnout. And we just like, I'm tired of the church. Like, you ain't got to raise your hand. Because I know because our church, you know, we have a core group of people who do a lot. And it's very easy to say, you know, I get tired and I get burnt out. And I also get tired and I also feel sometimes like I'm burnt out. But I realize that most of the times I get burnt out, you know when I get burnt out? Is when I start thinking about what I'm giving up. And I start thinking about how I don't have time with my kids and I don't have time to go do this. And what really happens is I start looking at how ain't nobody else helping, I say. That's not true. But like the enemy starts making you look at like, well, I'm the only one who comes in here and I'm the only one that does this and I'm the only one who does. And then that's when you get burnt out. But if you remind yourself that my look, I'm supposed to lay my life down for a friend. This is the greatest expression of love. Then I start to realize something, that this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And if we do this right, we'll see this happen with Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 is all about Jesus saying, you know what, check yourself to make sure you're not selfish when you're serving. Because you can be serving and still be selfish. Because it's all, you know, ain't nobody doing nothing for me. Ain't nobody. Well, I thought Jesus said the greatest thing was to serve others, not to be served. So if ain't nobody doing nothing for you, why are you tripping? Watch this, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 8. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Let nothing be done, not even serving in the church, be done through selfish ambition. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. This passage jumped out at me this week. You want to know why? Because Jesus never said you can't look after your own stuff. And most of us think, well, I got to give everything away. You ain't got to give everything away of yourself. But what he's saying is don't only be concerned about you. He says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. That means it is good for you to take care of your stuff. It's good for you to take care of your family. It's good for you to take care of your health. It's good for you to take care of your mind and spending time in devotion. But you can't only be about that. You got to be thinking about other people too. And you say, well, I'm thinking about my kids. Oh, freeze. That's your stuff too. What about some other kid who don't have a family member who's looking out for them? What happens if you only think about you? Yeah, your kids, you know what? You think your kids turn out all right, but you know what happens? They turn out very selfish because they become a product of who you are. If you want your kids to be givers, you need to let them see you give. If you want your kids to serve, you need to let them see you serve. If you want, see, I think a lot of stuff we do in the culture with raising our children is about the ideology we have for what we want our children to be. It is not about the fact that God has a purpose and plan for them. And it's so much bigger than ourselves. So my job is to help them see what God wants to do. And I think it's developing their character. Now, I think by nature, teenagers are definitely on the more tend to trend toward the selfish side. Every parent of a teenager was like, yep, amen, hallelujah, they show selfish. And I know that you feel like you're fighting against a wall because you want them to get out of themselves. But you keep doing it because one day it's going to click. And today, I don't want to beat anybody up. I'm just hoping something clicks for us. That serving is so important. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you serve, you're going to have joy. Let me prove it to you because I just want to just show you this. Jesus said in John chapter 15, here we go, verse 9 through 12. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, what Jesus is saying is God had something for me to do, and I focused on doing what God wanted me to do. I've been serving God. That's what Jesus is saying. And he says, so I do what God wants me to do. And he says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. How do we really get joy? It's when we serve somebody else. Think about it. When you were little and you had Christmas, it was exciting because you got all the gifts. That was fun. And some of y'all was like, yeah, that was joy right there. Well, when you get older, what changes? It's not about what you get, is it? It's about what you, I mean, we all want something. Like I tell my kids, you better give me something. You can't come up in here with nothing. You know why? Because I want to teach you how to say thank you. I want to teach you how to honor folks. You ain't going to grow up in my house and not bless me on Christmas or my birthday or Mother's Day. Because I got to teach you the joy of giving. If I don't teach you the joy of giving, you ain't going to never get it. You're going to think everything's about you. Watch this. So now that I'm an adult, I love getting gifts for my kids, but I get way more joy in seeing their face. Come on, y'all know what I'm saying? You ever did something to help somebody out? And then you look back and you're like, man, that was amazing. That was so cool. Like, we used to go serve Thanksgiving dinners to the homeless at Salvation Army. They had so many people going that we couldn't go anymore because it was just, because everybody come on Thanksgiving. You know, next day, nobody there. But, you know, so we were going Thanksgiving Day to serve. And I remember feeling like it was such an inconvenience to get up in the morning because I got to cook.
you know, I got to get my family's dinner together. And now I got to do it the night before. It's just so hard. But every time we would go serve and I would see those people who had nothing, I would love the smile on my face and the joy on my kids' heart when they would just put a plate on the table and say, can I get you some water? Can I bring you some? It was something that I cannot explain. This exchange happened where I left the Salvation Army feeling more grateful, feeling more joyful, saying it don't matter what's on my table. I'm just so thankful that I got a chance to serve somebody else today. See, there is a joy that comes when you give to other people. And we're missing out on getting that joy because we're selfish. Not because we're purposely being selfish, but because our culture is telling us be selfish. You know what? Our culture is like this. If you are passionate about something, you just tweet about it. You ain't got to do nothing about what you're passionate about no more. Because people will see how passionate you are based on how many times you tweet something. Man, they really care about global warming because all they post are about global warming. But you still, you know, using plastic bags, throwing them garbage everywhere. You don't really care about global warming. You ain't doing nothing. You don't even recycle. You know, I don't care about global warming, so I don't recycle. I do care. I'm just joking. But you guys understand what I'm saying? Like, we can say I'm passionate by just talking about it, and our culture will say, yes, you are passionate. No. Jesus says, what you doing about it? What you doing about this? If you say you love the church, and if you say this is my church home and I love this church, then the question for you ought to be, well, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Because if I really love it, I ought to be doing something. Jesus says greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for a friend. If I love God and I love the church, I got to be doing something for God and doing something for the church. We've lost some of the joy in our life because we have stopped serving. And when we serve, as I said, we serve with the wrong motives. You know, let's say, none of our musicians are like this, but I'm going to use it because it's an easy example. Let's say you like to play an instrument. And you believe God's gifted you, and so you serve on the worship team. And you're super excited about serving, and so you play an instrument. And you're like, yes, I'm serving God, I'm serving God, I'm serving God. But secretly, you just want to be a better musician. You ain't really serving God, you're serving you. So that when the worship pastor says, hey, I need you to do me a favor, and I need you to help me with scheduling people out and sending some emails. Oh, I don't do that, I'm a musician. Oh, that right there ought to tell you, you're there for the wrong reason. You're serving for the wrong reason. Ask yourself the question, why, if I am serving, why am I doing it? And if they ask me to do something I don't want to do, do I still do it? Because that's a good idea to tell you if I'm serving or not for the right reasons. If our serving never really requires us to sacrifice for something bigger than ourselves, then it's unlikely that our serving is really about us. Jesus says we got to lay down our lives. John chapter 10, Jesus says this, verse 11, John 10, verse 11. He says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus said, I'm going to lay down my life for the people that I'm serving. He says in verse 12, but a hireling, someone who doesn't really care, the one who's not a shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming, the trouble coming, and you know what he does? He's like, deuces, not my problem. So you know what I think of? I think about in the church, there is a lot we have to do in this church. I mean, we've been here for 2 years, and there are a lot of projects still left undone. And you know what? We come in and we look at these things and we're like, yep, been like that for weeks. I don't know what they're going to do. Deuces. I got stuff to do. I'm out. We look at our family department and we're like, man, they could really be doing a whole lot more. Deuces. I'm out. We look at our greeters. I don't know if y'all noticed, we don't even have anybody greeting in the morning. And it's so sad. Because all we want is people who just wrap their arms around folks and love them and say, welcome to our church. We're so glad you're here.
and we just look and we just walk in because we used to it. But what about people, this is your first day here. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody met you in the parking lot and gave you a hug and say, welcome to our church, and gave you a little tour, showed you where the bathrooms were, showed you where the classrooms were? Wouldn't it kind of change your perspective? Could it be, we don't have a problem getting visitors to this church. We have, on average, 3 to 4 new visitors every single Sunday. Our marketing is doing its job. It's not the problem. The problem is, what do we do with the people when they get here? If they are really going to be the sheep that God is sending, are we as a people laying our lives down? Are we like the hirelings, like, oh, it ain't my problem? But wait a second. We're supposed to be like Jesus. What am I doing? Well, Pastor, that's not my gift. You want to know what's not my gift? It's not my gift working with little kids. No offense. I like older children, junior high, high school, not even junior high. I like high school. But almost 4 times a week, 3 to 4 times a week, or 2 to 3, depending on my schedule, I go in and I work with kids that just makes my skin crawl sometimes because it's not my gift. But when I see their face light up and I realize that if I didn't show up, they wouldn't be able to be there. And if I didn't show up, they might not know about Jesus. And what if they never learn about Jesus? Then it's okay. Look, all of us have to serve in areas that we don't like. I want us all to find our gifts and our passion and to serve in that. But you're going to sometimes have to serve in places you hate, because that's real service. That's real service. Okay, I'm gonna end with this last thing. It's my last statement about this. This is all just talking. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. I was supposed to be telling you about how you can grow, the unlikely pace of growing your seed and producing seed and fruit. And here's the place where I think it comes the most clear. It's Luke 16, verse 10 through 12. It says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Let me break this down for you. I know you don't want to do certain things, because I don't either. But what this says, if I will be faithful in doing the stuff I hate doing that seems little and insignificant, God can trust me with greater things. But until I learn how to be faithful in doing the stuff that I can't stand doing and don't want to do and get tired of doing and feel like this ain't it, I will never be blessed to be faithful doing the great things that God has for me. The last part of that, put that last verse up again, verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? You want God to give you the vision and the ministry or the business or the idea or the thing that's going to take you to this level and make you great? God says, learn how to be faithful in somebody else's vision. If you can serve somebody else's vision, I'm going to give you yours. Not just tell it to you, but I'm going to make it come to pass. Because you learn how to bring a vision to pass when you learn how to serve somebody else's vision. And I was sitting back going, geez, God, I don't know if I ever served anybody else's vision. I'm feeling a little like, did I skip over this process? You know what Jesus said? He said, you were serving somebody else's vision for a long time and don't even know it. Matter of fact, you still serving somebody else's vision. And I was like, God, I don't know what you're talking about. You see, 20 years ago when we decided to plant this church, I had no vision for a church. I just felt God was saying, go do it. I did everything possible in this church. I have been the youth leader, youth pastor, worship leader, admin person, finance person, secretary, Sunday school teacher, preacher, women's director, musician. I mean, that's 10 different things. And it's like, I never had a vision. The one thing I ain't never do is go back there and change no diapers. I said, Jesus, look, here's what I really tell him. If you want me to do that, I'll do that too. I think Jesus said, them babies can't handle you. So he would never give me that. But here's the thing. I don't say that to spout off what I did. It wasn't my vision. I never wanted to be a worship leader. I never wanted to be a, you know, I did want to play an instrument my whole life, so I felt like that was kind of a bonus feature that I learned how to play in the last, 7 years of my life. But that wasn't my thing. I just was like, our church needs this. I'll do it. I'll do whatever the church needs. And it was funny. Even when my husband died and God called me to pastor this church, I never had a vision of pastoring a church, people. I ain't want to be no pastor. Truth be told, I was cool with just being in the background. I like being number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 on the list. I don't like being the one in charge of stuff. Well, now it's kind of like it's you got to be, so you do it. And so I've been serving another man's vision for the last 11 years as pastor of this church. And I don't feel bad about it. You know why? Because God's growing me while I serve another man's vision. And God's speaking to me about what he wants to do in me while I serve another man's vision. There's a vision of my husband to have a church on the east side of San Jose that was multicultural, completely diverse in economics, that was reaching people and discipling people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was his vision. And I've just been trying to make it happen. Whose vision are you working on besides yours? I want you to stop being all about you, because Jesus was never all about him. He just wasn't. He said, I didn't come here to be served, but I came to serve somebody else. If you can learn to serve other people, you'll begin to see God multiply you in ways that you never thought imagined. Could it be that your healing is locked up in your service? Could it be that your marriage and having a good marriage is locked up in your service? Not just you, but even your spouse. Could it be that having children who got good sense is locked up in your service? Could it be that the job you've always wanted is locked up in your service? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I tell you what, I don't want to take a chance at not having it. I'd rather just serve. Come on, everybody, stand to your feet. I'm done. So what do I want you to do with this message? Can anybody take a guess? Wow, you guys are brilliant. You guys are brilliant if you got that. Look, let me say this. If you are visiting this church, we are so grateful for you. When I host people at my home, in particular, one of my greatest joys has always been to host Thanksgiving dinner and have lots of people, because I don't know how to cook a little bit for Thanksgiving. I just don't know how to do it. I mean, I'm sure there's a way to do it. I don't know how to do it. I love having people over, but here's the thing. When people come to my house and they visit me and I'm hosting them, I don't ask them to serve because they're guests. So if you're a guest in this church, God bless you. Serve somewhere. But if you call it home, those two, they're my children. For Thanksgiving, I like for them to get involved. You know why? Because it's a family effort that we're putting on this event to serve and eat. Even if it's just us, it should be a family effort. Guests don't have to get involved, but family, make sure we do it right. So if you consider yourself a part of the family of Rohi Christian Church, and this message is hitting you, what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to make sure you join us for the breakfast. Because I want to tell you about a few things. It won't be long. It'll be about 15 minutes, I promise you. I just want to tell you about ways you can serve in this church. Things that you can do to help, because we need you. You know, we have four principles. Four things that make up what we believe are true disciples. They are our vision, our mission, and our value statement. And they're locked in these four words. Real, which means we want real encounters with God. Change happens in community, so we encourage people in small groups. So real encounters happen like Sunday morning. So if you're here on Sunday, we think you're already on the path to discipleship. Change, if you're in a small group, we think you're already on the path to discipleship. The third word is now, which means now we serve. Now that I've been connected, now that I'm in a small group, I serve. If you are not connected or in a small group, start the serving. because some of that brings the small group connections for you. And then we go and tell somebody about Jesus. So our four words are real, change, now, go. This is our now. Why did I choose the word now? Because you can't wait to serve. The longer you wait, the less likely you are to do anything. Now. So would you do me a favor? We're going to close with a word of prayer, but just take 15 minutes afterwards. We got a little snacks for you. Find out how you can get involved in the life of this church. I fully expect that we should have more people serving, and we might not have a lot of people sitting in the pews. That's okay, because that means we're prepared for the people God's sending. But if all the people who are members are sitting in the church, we can never prepare for the folks God sends. And if you're just like, I'm just hungry and I'm a guest, we would like to host you for food. You don't have to serve and volunteer, but we would like to fellowship with you. All right? So how many of you are like, this message just hit me? Raise your hand. All right, let me pray for you. Thank you for those of us with our hands up. God, now show us what to do with it. Give us opportunities to serve you, even if it doesn't feel right. Help us, oh God, to just serve. Thank you for this time. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forevermore. When people ask how you're doing, may your response be, most unlikely place where you will see fruit happen is in your service. God